Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. We've got a fun show. We're going to chat. We're going to get into some news. Talk about new Bronco Warthog coming out, F-150 EV. Some information's come out about that. Acura TLX Type S seems kind of interesting, and more. Before we get started, word from our friends at Dodge. As you know, Dodge has been ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com to schedule a test drive today. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Good day, sir.
What's
How
up,
are you? How you
doing? Good, man.
Yeah. Right on. There's some interesting news and stuff we want to cover today, but man, lots going on your front as well. There's always car projects, garage projects, as the weather starts to warm up and starting to see what sort of damage has been left in the wake.
Let's talk about damage. Let's talk about, you know, moving to Texas and every 15 minutes the weather changes. So
yeah.
I was abruptly woken up in the middle of the night about, I don't know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
cracking thunder, lightning, and hail.
Yeah.
And the TRX and the Porsche that was just delivered, Wanda's Porsche, after a 3-year hiatus up in LA, was just delivered, you know, like 2 days before, and they were both sitting outside.
Well, the TRX has got the paint protection film all over a goddamn thing.
Porsche, but if we were living 5 miles down the road where they got 1-inch size hail,
oh my God.
I don't think it would have. I could have heated it up all I wanted to and rubbed it, and it wouldn't have corrected that.
Can you hide the Porsche under the TRX? That was it's just,
well, you know, that's a that's a distinct possibility.
I
was terrified.
The hail, not a fan of. But I do kind of like the thunder and lightning when it rains.
Absolutely. It's wonderful. But,
I do kind of like that part. You know, when you're standing inside with a cup of Joe and the fireplace on, but
animals don't like it.
They don't like it. Because the animals don't like it. But then the hail gets ridiculously loud, you know?
And damaging.
Anyway, I brought it up because I knew you were going to mention the Porsche, and I wanted to get an update on that car, right? So this is Wanda's. What year is the car?
It's a 92.
92 turbo, right? It's a 92 turbo. I've seen it. It's fantastic. I remember years ago you were having a few like tuning issues that still kind of need to be worked out, but You were saying that you got it back because it was still in California. It was one of the last things to get delivered. Did you do an exhaust on it? Did you have Rich?
It was in the showroom up at Magnaflow, I think, for the last 2 years.
That's right.
While it was waiting for its, you know, appointment at this boutique Porsche boutique up in L.A. So let's just say nothing was done. Let's just say it runs, it drives, it sputters like it did when it left. But the fact that we got it back is wonderful. And we've already garnered, you know, the Porsche guy within Ranger Creek Road, because I live on a road where there's five to 15 car collectors with, you know, 10 to 50 car collections. It's amazing.
Right. So you could just walk down your street or grab your ATV, drive down the street.
TRX,
see, has the most Porsches. See, has the most Porsches and stop.
But I'm talking to the dude with the TRX, right? And he's setting up the appointment to send it down to Mario to get his stuff done. And I said, you know, I don't know if you know this guy, but I heard that there was a Porsche guy that lived on Ranger Creek. And he goes, you mean the guy that was driving the 87 by your house at 90 the other night? And I went, yeah. And he goes, that's me. So long story short, killed two birds with one stone, man. Got a new Porsche shop up in San Antonio. The car is going to get picked up next week. And we just want it driving right now.
Yeah.
We'll do some crazy stuff to it later. but I just want her to enjoy
it. That's a good point, because I did see some of Wanda's posts. She's like, my car is back, my baby's back, and you know, she has a million posts with all the animals and everything and stuff. But I know she really likes that car and kind of missed the car.
Can you see the hand marks on my neck? Because they've been around it for the last 3 years. You know, finally she released the grip, and you know, it's just good to have it back, man. The car's a beast. I mean, you remember the backstory on that car, right? I go up to get punked on Jesse James, and I'm driving I got a twin turbo. I think it was an 07, something like that. And he immediately fell in love with the car. I sold it to him. I really didn't like it because it was an all-wheel drive. And Bob Johnson, the guy in Georgia who kind of turned me onto the hobby way back when, about 115 years ago, had this car that was, you know, 90% original, except for it had been upgraded a bit with an intercooler and a larger turbo in Scottsdale. And since then, the place has gone out of business. So we tried to track everything down. Wasn't possible. And so the thing just, it needs a retune. It needs probably the original intercooler put back on there, which is going to be a struggle to find. But at the end of the day, we just need it running right now so Wanda could have some fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, sounds fantastic. Well, look at it. It's been sitting still for so long that you haven't really put many miles on it.
There's always kind of the good thing.
And they've gone up in value so much, those turbos.
No question. You know, I really want to get maybe, I don't know, let's get a Porsche expert on, because I'm very curious about the backstory. There's the last water cooled engines. I don't remember. I don't know the year. I don't know too much about these Porsches, but since I have this car, I
well, you have one of the last of the air cooled engines, which is
the air
cool car. Yeah. And they've really gone up in value. And, I believe the first generation of water cooled cars are not high value. There was some issue. I don't remember what it was with a bearing or a water pump or something. Somebody listening would be able to correct me on that. I don't know that applied to the turbos at the time, just for the regular 911s. But you're right. Somebody out there knows a hell of a lot more about the Porsches than I do, and it would be interesting to talk to somebody a little bit about that.
No question.
But your car, I can tell you, the air-cooled 993s, you know, and your air-cooled turbo has definitely gone up in value. It is definitely a car you guys will want to keep. Of course, drive it, have some fun with it.
It's a beautiful car.
Yeah, it really
is. The cool aesthetics car. On that car are just, you know, it's reminiscent of the XKE lines.
Yeah, and it's just,
you know, just for what it is.
And it's still just so analog, like just driving it, shifting it, everything is kind of fun about the whole thing, but.
Oh, it's terrifying. That's why I bought it.
All right, so we've got some other stuff to chat about. Let me just remind you about our friends over at Dodge. We'll give them a little love. As you guys have heard before, Dodge has officially opened orders of the 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. It's the most powerful SUV ever. I believe they told us these were going to be limited production, about 2,000 of them made, and only in this year. And I know most of them are sold or pretty much have been ordered by the dealer. So you might find a couple of dealers that have them. But also check out the Charger RT. You can get the V8 version and hop it up any way you want. But the Hellcat, exclusive for 2021, features the 710 horsepower engine, new aggressive exterior styling, and a new interior with a cockpit, with a driver-centric cockpit, which is great. And now all buyers will receive a full day of pro instruction at the Bondurant High Performance Driving School, which I think just changed its name. And I don't recall what the name is.
I'm about Archer or something.
Yeah, I know what it is, but. Same school.
It's going to be a hard one to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure,
it'll come to me at some point. But either way, same school.
Obviously, it's hard to remember because you get two gearheads right here that love to go to the Bondurant, but you can't remember.
Yeah. So same school, same program. Different name, you get to go to that thing. So
you get to go to that thing.
You get to go to that thing, which you'll love doing. And of course, Dodge is ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com today to schedule a test drive. Yeah, what is the name of that? What is the name of the new Bonner at school?
Radford?
Radford
Racing School.
Yes, Radford.
Radford. I wasn't even close.
Yeah.
There was an A and an R in there.
Okay, so if you guys have been following me on social media, as you're listening to this, you would have seen recently I posted a few pictures of this, the Nissan Z, right? When we, when Adam Kroll and I went to Tennessee, I think we went to Tennessee, and were part of the debut, and it was sort of the virtual debut, and then we went and saw the Z Proto, the prototype, here in person. And it was
now
the bright,
you can talk about it because pictures are out, right?
Right. So the comments were, I agreed that the bright yellow that they debuted it with was probably not the most flattering color.
They went on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah. You know, when we saw the car in person, you can see it was a throwback color, but when you see it photographed, especially during the live presentation, and it was on the Jumbotrons, and it's all kind of backlit with these LEDs, you know, on the screens, it just made it look like a fluorescent green, and it was really, really bright. And then when we saw it in person, it's interesting. We went to, like, this place that's kind of like an art gallery, and then there they had, like, the lights dimmed and just a couple, like, detail spotlights like an art gallery would have on the car. And it really kind of changed it. And one of the things I said when I came back was, hey, the big grill in the front has this big mouth in the front. And the grill, I said, when you get up on it in person, it has more personality than you think. It's not just flat with, like, the honeycomb grill. It has, like, an upper and lower version of it in the blacked out area. It's tough to see in the photos. But now there's these photos that are coming out of two vehicles. I can't tell if it's like in a manufacturing facility or a shipping facility. And I don't know why they put a piece of black tape over the Z on the front of the car and on the side of the quarter panels, because it was very clearly what it is. But or maybe, I don't know, maybe just the logos were missing or something, and they just put tape over like the embossed portion of the bodywork. But there was a gray one and a silver one, which looked very interesting. The first thing we figured out was the production car is as close to that prototype car as possible. And they told us, they basically told us, like, yeah, the Z Proto is like 90% production car at that point.
Well, hats off to them for, you know, teasing the public and then being able to deliver something really close to it.
Yeah, and they did. And then when you see that front end picture, you'll notice that the grill, they added some on all the little like kind of oval shaped vents on the upper portion of the grill. They added some chrome trim around there. Now, I don't know if that's going to be on all of the Zs or different trim models, like a Platinum or a Limited or whatever, right? But you can see that that chrome trim actually made the grill look more defined and smaller. And I that is one of the changes that they came up with. And it looks pretty good. There was a little video posted as well. It looked like, it's tough to tell, but on the silver car, it looked like the lights are kind of blacked out. Like the headlights, clear lens, but the back plastic looks to be a dark, I don't know, a gray or black. And I don't know, it looks pretty interesting. And I know I got a lot of comments on the interior shot. People going, hey, what's that little nubby thing in the center console that looks like an automatic transmission shifter? Yes, it is an automatic transmission. However, unlike the Supra, which we talked about, I'm told many, many times again and again, the car will be offered with a manual transmission. It will have an optional automatic, which I don't know if it's, you know, 10 speed or what, but I am told a manual transmission will be in there. And then, of course, the rumors are still that it will have Infiniti's turbo V6 engine that's in the all-wheel drive Red Sport. I believe it's all-wheel drive. That's a 400 horsepower engine. So I know in the past, you know, the naming, the 3 liter, you know, the Z, the 300, the 370Z, it had to do with the displacement of the engine, and calling it a 400Z is not a 4 liter engine, but it's now it's the horsepower. So we don't know for sure if it's going to be a 400Z or not. Maybe they just call it Z. Maybe they call it something else. I don't really know, but the car looks good. It, you can see it in these colors, and it definitely is better than the yellow, right?
Yes.
Anyway, just kind of wanted to get that
reminiscent
out there.
Of that kind of yellow.
It really was like when you see you got a sticky note right there, and it's that bright yellow. And I'm telling you, like, even on the screen now, right, because I'm looking at you on like a, you know, like an LED screen, it's so day glow, like it's just you know, like if you're gonna go hunting, you'd slap those things all over your pants.
It speaks highlighter.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like a highlighter. Anyway, so some spy photos that you'll see, or just some leaked photos, for lack of a better term, showed up online. You can go to my social media at Motorator. You'll see some photos, and you'll see on Facebook and Twitter, I linked to a YouTube video that is a video walk around, like a little bit of a walk around. I didn't figure out how to put the YouTube video on Instagram, so the Instagram guy, you don't get it.
You should have your own video.
I know. I should.
In your little spy camera.
As soon as I get to Japan, I'll be all over that. Okay, so what was next was coming up was more spy photos are being picked up as cars sort of run around town. And the two that I wanted to touch on, because we've covered them and people are into them, are one is first the Ford F-150 EV, the electric F-150. How are they going to do it? What sort of drivetrain and stuff is going to happen? And what's interesting is, you know, people got the spy photos of it. It's all camoed up and masked up and stuff, but someone was able to get underneath it. I don't know if they're physically getting underneath it, or it's like the telephoto lens and they just managed to you know, get a glimpse. But what's interesting is it is not a leaf spring rear suspension. It is a coilover rear suspension, but not coilovers on a live axle. It is an independent rear suspension. So the center section is fixed, right? Because in that center section appears to be an electric motor. So it's rear wheel drive. I'm sure there's sort of some sort of all wheel drive version going on. But it does power the rear wheels. And what's interesting is somebody recently, I think it was like Magna, one of the suppliers, posted like a patent saying, oh, here's an idea of an electric motor on a leaf spring in the rear axle. And then my thought was, that would be heavy. That's a lot of weight to put on the suspension pieces. It didn't seem like the smartest idea. I'm sure it'll apply to somebody. But Ford's solution is, hey, independent rear suspension. So the motor in the center section is fixed, attached to the chassis. And then we just have these upper and lower control arms and half shafts like any proper IRS would have. But that's interesting, right? Like it could provide a smoother ride, better handling. I don't know if there's going to be sort of an airbag version in the back with the coil spring so you can change towing capacity. That's always been kind of the thing. It's like, how do you get away with coil springs? How do you get away with independent rear suspension? It starts to affect towing capacity, load capacity. So maybe the idea is it's got a stiff coil spring, or it's adjustable with an airbag of some sort, or maybe just the capacity of the EV F-150 is designed to be less than the full F-150, so you can kind of pick which version you want. You can get an EV version. You can get the Power Boost hybrid version, or you can get the big V8 version or the EcoBoost version. Like there's
so many possibilities.
Yeah, there's you know, there's a lot you could do there.
It's creating more questions than answers.
Yeah. So,
right now.
Anyway, it looked interesting. I thought you guys would want to know. It's an interesting design, but it does seem like if you're looking for an F-150 that you drive as kind of a daily driver, and you do haul some stuff and occasionally tow some stuff, but it's just kind of like a daily work truck. I would imagine the EV version with an independent rear is going to be the smoothest riding one you're going to be able to get. You know, anyway, on to bigger, badder, tougher things. The Ford Bronco. We talked about Bronco having a quote-unquote Raptor version of the Bronco. Ford is developing a hopped-up version from the factory like the Raptor.
100%.
Yes. It's going to be called the Warthog. And even with all of the camo and stuff all wrapped around it, it looks badass. It looks tough. Now, the beauty of the Bronco, as we talked about, is how modular it is. All of the fenders and quarter panels and grills and everything can come off the thing. The aftermarket is just going to jump on that thing. Like, I mean, the timing of rolling out these trucks and what SEMA is probably working on, as you know, coming up in November. SEMA does this great thing. SEMA Garage does this great thing where they try to get access to an early version or pre-production or early production version of a vehicle, and then they host a measuring session at the SEMA Garage out here in California. And aftermarket parts manufacturers are allowed to sign up and go to that event and measure the vehicle, but then also use SEMA Garage's tools, you know, scanning tools and things like that. You can get all the data.
But that hasn't been available during the pandemic.
It hasn't been available yet, which is interesting because I think they just had in there the Aston Martin DBX SUV.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is going to be
meaning
nice.
Meaning the only one, or they just like right now they're just having it.
There's a few on the road people are buying, but they had it either recently or it was soon. They had the DBX as a measuring session. Not a car that I saw was going to be highly modified, but it is happening. By the way, Jeep said their Wagoneer and the Grand Wagoneer, they're expecting and hoping, Ralph Gilles is hoping, it's going to be one of the most modified vehicles at SEMA. He's saying, I'm all in on this.
Wow.
Everybody make an Overlander version, make a street version, just like make accessories for it. He's all in. He's like, he wants to see the Wagoneer just get dressed up in every way possible. And he just wants that ultra luxury large SUV, which would compete with Lincoln Navigator and
customizable
and Escalade. Yeah, he wants to see.
Competition is.
He's like, just because it's high end SUV, a full size SUV, he goes, doesn't mean I don't want you to make an Overlander version. He's like, do it. I want to see it. Like, go all in on it. So, anyway, so Ford, the spy shots of the Warthog, big bumpers and flared fenders and the big tires, and it just looks tough as well. Now, I don't know exactly what engine is going to be in it, but signs are sort of pointing toward the 3-liter EcoBoost engine in the Ford Explorer ST, which is a 400 horsepower turbo. Which wouldn't be bad and is a pretty good jumping off point. You know,
it's a good start. Yeah,
I'm sure with just the tune, you're, at 440, 450, depending on the octane.
And easy. And that thing weighs nothing. And let's back up a second. You can't tell me that anybody out there needs that SEMA measuring spot for that Bronco.
Yeah, right.
Because that's been way done. And I guarantee you that'll be the most customized vehicle at SEMA. Absolutely, no doubt. And this will be the first time that we'll be able to see that much stuff available to the public immediately because of the timing of all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be all over the place at SEMA. It's going to be fun to see. The spy photos show a much beefier suspension. Control arms are beefier. Coil springs are the front coils are beefier. A little bit like what we saw on the Ranger Raptor, which we still don't have out here, but we did see it other places in the world. And it's got a lot of the bones from the Ranger Raptor in it, in the Warthog.
Let's just talk about the fact that they've got years and years and years of R&D in this space, man. So, I mean, they're just waiting to pull the trigger on so many cool things, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how that comes out, because I think it's going to be good looking vehicle, and it'll be interesting to see the Raptor evolve as well, right? Because we know the new version of the Raptor is going to be out this summer, but with the current twin turbo V6, and then next year, you know, of course, the V8 version is, we're hearing the GT500 engine in that thing. I mean, why not? I still love that battle between Ford and Ram on just making completely silly over the tops while we still can.
Well, that, and I think that your statement of it's going to be next year, I think it's going to be pushed forward or backward in that it's like going to be sooner
rather late. Well, you know, as things keep moving more and more to these strict CAFE standards and hybrids and EVs, I think we're really kind of chomping at the bit on getting our last little hurrah of ICE vehicles, and we want, you know, we want that stuff to the extent that we can still get it. Which also brings up an interesting my next point is BMW, well, Audi has basically said, yeah, we're going to do away with internal combustion engines. ICE seems to be the term. I'm not sure I'd love that term simply because it's an acronym used on so many different things. So Audi is saying, yes, in the next few years, over time, we have no plans to continue making engines or designing anything new. So everything on a go-forward basis is going to be toward EV. I believe Mercedes has made a similar statement. BMW, on the other hand, is saying our line of Minis, Mini will become electric. And we expect about half of our vehicles sold to be electric, but we still see a demand for a gas engine vehicle, which is interesting. And they're not really putting a cap on it. They're not saying a gas engine vehicle for the next 3, 4, 5 years. They're saying it's kind of indefinite for now, and we'll see how things go. So Audi made their statement and said, no more gas engines. And then BMW said, we're still kind of in on gas engines for a while. We like them. And then Audi came back and said, well, we're not opposed to doing gas engines again at some point. We're just – it's not in our future plan now. You know, I want to just kind of touch on this, but I'm not educated enough to speak about all the ups and downs. And we're going to get into a scientific conversation at some point. But as we start – right. As we start looking at electrification of vehicles and making it the industry standard, which is largely being pushed by politics because they don't have another solution, is EV the best solution? Like what – what's it taking, the mining that needs to happen to get the batteries created? And then where do we put these batteries? Yeah, where do they go?
Where do they go?
You know, are we able to recycle stuff? What sort of damages? And then the amount of power we need to generate, you know, I mean.
Where does a wrecked Tesla go?
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you safely dispose of a battery like that? I don't know where that goes. And besides.
Do you put the battery back in where you found it? Because originally that's, you know, do you just bury it all back to where it was sourced?
So interesting questions. I'd like to dig into more. I don't know what the answers are. I guess my question would be, as these car companies and so many other companies, the vendors and stuff, are pushing toward electric vehicles, are they also building an infrastructure of recyclability and power grid and whatever? And then how are we producing that power? Are we moving toward more natural power sources like solar? Because many places don't have the infrastructure for that kind of thing. When I say places, I mean cities and states, you know, don't really have the infrastructure. Meanwhile, there is thought about alternative fuels, like clean burning synthetic fuels, like this e-fuel initiative that Mazda and Porsche have been kicking around. And I'd be interested in learning a little more about that, which also, if they come up with a clean burning alternative fuel and it is in a liquid form, then it is much easier to roll that out to gas stations all around the planet, right? So, there's some thought around that. And I don't think that's getting enough attention because there's so much pressure on getting EV. Yeah. And I, for lack of a better term, right, politics. There's just so much pressure on going, we need to clean up. No more gas engine vehicles. You got to make EVs. And
that's their answer, and it's the end all. But is it the right?
I just don't know
the
if
best
that's
way.
The
we all right we all
answer.
Want the same
yeah, I don't
thing.
Know if that's right.
Is it the best way? We don't know.
Anyway, so there's that. I'd like to dig into this more. Maybe we'll get Alistair back on at some point soon and see if he's got some thoughts on it. He's a little more tuned into some of that stuff. Anyway, so something onto something a little more fun. But actually, before we hit that, let me hit this Geico ad. Do you guys own your home or rent your home? Well, you do. We know you do. It's one of those things. And we know it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing because we already have so much to do around our homes already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. So when we were in Monterey a little while back, when we were allowed to go to Monterey for a car event, we swung by one of our favorite events, Chris, is the Acura event.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We get to hang out. And
that's where I met Jewel.
That's right. You got to meet Jewel, the musician, who is actually a pretty funny person. She does kind of an acoustic comedy music bit. And
my first highlight, but it actually yeah. is a great event.
Yeah. Well, also.
Have I told you, do you guys know my Jewel story?
No. Oh, I'm all ears now.
I'm
all
ears
now.
Well, it was right. It was when she was very raw.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know. It's a weird one, man. It's a weird one. And I don't want to, don't pass judgment on Jewel in this, right? So, I get cut by the LA Rams. I come back. My brother lives in San Diego. The next night, we go to a concert at a club called the Belly Up, which he now owns, ironically.
Yeah.
So we went to a concert, and there was this singer, and I had no idea who she was, and her name was Jewel. And she was a pretty girl, right? And so I grabbed my brother, and we went to go get a front view of her singing from the front of the stage because we were on the side, and we're walking parallel, and we look, and she's – throws a big loogie out in the crowd. And it stopped us in our tracks, and we went back. And I was like, oh, we're good. So that's my Jewel story. That was 1992.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1991, actually. Yeah, that was a long time ago. So, Jewel, we've all grown up since then.
Wait, so why did she spit on you guys?
No, she didn't spit on us. It's like, I don't know. I still think it was.
Performing. And
yes.
And
yes.
She was like the way Gary Oldman acts in every
exactly.
scene.
He always,
right? Like,
yeah. It was a Alice Cooper moment. I don't know what it was.
Maybe it was a piece of gum.
If you have to hit those high notes, you got to do whatever's necessary.
It was a piece of gum.
Yeah.
And then I met her, you know, like 100 years later, and she was absolutely wonderful. But I mean, that's my Jewel story. And you can't make that up.
No,
oh, yeah.
And actually, when
I'm going with gum from now on.
Yeah, maybe it was gum. Maybe it was a chiclet or something. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, yeah, chiclet.
Yeah. That's my Jewel story.
Yeah. Oh, well, when we saw her, she actually has, she did like this acoustic set And kind of was like a storyteller moment. It was like kind of storytelling about the songs and being on the road. And it was funny. Like, she was funny. And she kind of like even poked fun at herself. She's like, yeah, back when I used to sound like Kermit the Frog when I would sing this song. And you know, just kind of, you know, people telling her, like, fix your tooth. And she's like, I don't want to fix my tooth. And I like it. I like my snaggle tooth.
You want to get a back, you want to get some backstory on Jewel, watch The Alaskan Frontier, because that's about her family. And I learned a lot about her and their quirkiness and where it came from. And she's really creative and cool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty funny seeing the kind of the behind the scenes of her life and her family. So you kind of can figure out where it all came from.
Well, she was at an Acura event, and there was a car there as well.
Sorry about that. Sorry, I derailed that entire story for 30 minutes.
No. It's good. The car that was there was the Acura TLX, the Type S, and it was this great looking sedan, like mid-sized sedan. And Acura wanting to get back into sort of the sporty nature of things. Obviously, you have the Type R, the Civic Type R, and the NSX. And it just looked good, and I kind of like the idea of a super sedan, for lack of a better term. It needs to fit into the right category, but this is it. I think the regular TLX will have a 2-liter turbo, and the Type S, I think we're looking at 3-liter turbocharged V6, 355 horsepower, 354 pound-feet of torque. It has their super handling all-wheel drive system, which is a really cool system, a 10-speed automatic suspension. It's a little bit more sport-tuned. It has different settings, the Sport Plus driving modes and things like that. But they finally announced the pricing and availability, and it's going to start in the low 50s, right? Which is not bad. You know, 50-something grand, probably loaded up with a few options.
No, I mean, that's great, especially in that space. There aren't that many people in that space, and that seems to come in lower than most, right?
Yeah. It'll be available in May, so you can start getting on this right now. It's a good-looking vehicle. I mean, I was looking at some of the photos, and my first thought was like, yeah, I could probably lower it a little bit. Probably could be lowered just a little bit. No problem there. I'm sure that's going to be one of the things that can be addressed easily if you really want that look. But Acura is saying, hey, this is a great sporty sedan. It's going to be one of their best handling vehicles aside from the NSX. And as much as people already love the Civic Type R, that's the front wheel drive and version of it. But I think the longer wheelbase helps it compared to the Type R, and it looks good. So expect to start in the 50s. And, you know, depending on the options, and I don't know how many options are available, but, you know, you're probably getting off the lot around 60 grand with this thing. It'll be available in May. And with 355 horsepower, I bet it scoots around pretty good. It's a good-looking car.
Let's be honest. The supercar sedan market could never be too big, right? Mm-hmm. So bring it on.
Yeah, but this is a good way to get into this market without spending $100,000, right?
Exactly, because you're going to spend that on marketably 90% of the rest of them.
Yeah, right.
You know what I want to see is I want to see that classification of wagon come back. That's what I want to see.
Oh yeah, well, our buddy from Microsoft, who's a huge Audi fan, our buddy Justin. Well, I don't think he's at Microsoft anymore, but he's just out kind of roaming the earth like Kane and Kung Fu, and having a great time.
Kung Fu,
and he's the best. He's the best dude ever, and he's just posting pictures of his Audi. Is it RS6 wagon? The Avant, the RS6. He's got the super wagon.
Man.
And that thing just looks badass. I think his is the dark blue. I think one just popped up on Bring a Trailer. Last I looked, it was $100,000+. It was a red one. So somebody ordered it or didn't take delivery or whatever, or it's just flipping it right away. But it looks pretty cool. I don't know.
I want one of those, whether it's a Caddy or whether it's an Audi or whether it's a Dodge Magnum. You know, I mean, that's that. I'm not going to say that. What did they used to call it? The Dodge?
Yeah, version? The Magnum. Yeah.
It was a Magnum?
Yeah, yeah. Avoid that one.
Yeah. It's just the idea of that space.
I mean, I don't know if
a super wagon would be bitching.
Yeah.
I think.
And I don't know if Cadillac's going to do a new version, because we talked like about the CT4 and the CT5, the yeah. V-Series Blackwing. It would be badass if they did a wagon like this did with the CTS-V wagon. But right now, I think that Audi is the super wagon. You know, that's the
pinnacle. Yeah, that's, I mean, is anybody close? Does anybody make anything similar to it?
I don't know if AMG still has a super wagon. You know, if Mercedes has an AMG wagon. I haven't done much with Benz in a while, but
curious to see that.
Right now, I think Audi is the one. I guess the closest thing out there would be the Panamera Sport Turismo, which is the big hatchback. But I kind of like the Audi version better. Audi version better of it.
The styling is much more on point with what. Yes. Anyway.
All right. So the last thing I want to touch on, and then we'll wrap things up, is a while back, if you remember, that some guy was driving his Porsche, the Carrera GT. Yes, you know what I'm getting to. He had the Carrera GT, and he had like the rare Gambala version called the Mirage GT.
There were only one of two or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like very, very limited, very limited. And you're right. I'm trying to see if we even know how
many.
And
he couldn't have done more of a jackass move in New York. Or wherever it was.
That's what it was. He was in New York.
Playing pinball off of 15 cars or whatever.
That's it. Just smashed into a bunch of cars. I think a cop car or something like that. Just smashed into a bunch of cars. It was basically caught on camera, or at least the wreckage was caught on
camera. And then took off.
And tried to drive that thing around some more. And I don't know. It's just $750,000 car just smashed it into a bunch of cars. Like, I don't know, you're just drunk, you're high or something. Well, all charges have been dismissed. I don't get this. The court says that operating under the influence had to be dropped because it couldn't be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. I can't even begin to understand what happened in the courtroom. I wish we had a Mark Garagos' input on this, but either this guy just threw a bunch of money at this and has the best lawyer on the planet, but
he probably settled with every one of those people's car, every one of those people that he smashed their cars, but legally, I don't know how he got out of that one.
I just don't know. They couldn't
with
prove
the state.
So I guess I don't know. Like reckless driving. It says the charges of reckless driving and operating under the influence had to be dropped because they couldn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that that's what was happening. So how do you smash into everything?
He was drunk or not, that was not reckless driving. Period. So say he wasn't drunk. How could he not be charged with reckless driving?
I don't know. I guess you could just say he intentionally hit everything on purpose, and now he just has to write a check. He's like, I was just feeling like a dick one day, and I wanted to smash my car into a bunch of cars on the side of the road. Like, I don't really know how that pans out, but that's kind of bad shit crazy, right?
It kind of
puts the whole idea of, hey, you can buy your way out of trouble. It puts it into a really bad light. You know, I don't know. I don't really get it. But that's the follow-up on that crazy story.
I saw that in the notes, and I was flabbergasted. That just leaves you with your jaw dropped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, I know you've got an appointment coming up. I'm going to head out to Barrett-Jackson. I'm going to catch the last couple of days at Barrett-Jackson and Scottsdale. I'm going to fly over there and meet up with some people and grab some meetings and see how the event is going.
Wave to the lawman for me and have a wonderful time and travel safe.
Thanks. Yeah.
Don't take your checkbook and tell the level guy, the cabinet guys.
Yeah, the lev rack guys. Yeah.
I'll be inquiring soon.
Yeah. I'm going to see them and I'm going to see the Metron Garage guys while I'm out there. So I'm going to go by and say hi to everybody. I wonder if we're going to see Marcus Angel floating around the area. If I see him at Barrett-Jackson, do I tell him to get back to work or?
No, it's done.
it's done. Good.
I just need a garage to put it in.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll enjoy babysitting that car for a little bit.
Well, let's be honest. It's not going to be a detriment to the space in his garage around Barrett-Jackson time when people were touring it. So,
yeah. Right. Well, if I see him out there, I'll be sure to check in on it as well. But all right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Thanks so much for listening. Always appreciate it. Appreciate the comments on social media as well. You can follow us both, Goldberg and Goldberg's Garage. You can follow me at Moderator. And
and I have an addendum. You always say put the air in the spare. And also put the air in the spare and make sure the spare is the same size as the other tires on your car. Because I got a 35-inch underneath my truck and it needs to be switched out to a 37.
Oh, that's an interesting point. You can
– Just saying.
You could lopside it home if you get a flat. I don't know.
Yeah. Who wants to do that?
Nah, you call AAA. Get a flatbed.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.